Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Developing a Culture of Mission in the Local Church, Part 2, The Great Commission. Why would we want to develop a culture of mission and evangelism in our churches? The answer has to be because that is God's heart, as revealed in the Great Commission. And throughout Scripture, Jesus gave his church a clear mandate before he ascended to his Father. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 reads, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Until we adopt Christ's mission as our mission, we are missing the mark. It is easy to substitute any number of good things for the mission. We can make great preaching and teaching our highest priority. If you ask the average churchgoer why they like their churches, many will say that it is the great preaching, the wonderful worship, the kids' programs, etc. Many churches opt for community service, potlucks, worship, prayer, you name it, anything but sharing the gospel. If you want to stir up enemy resistance, including that which comes from church members, try advocating for the centrality of the mission. People do not want to leave the comfortable confines of their church culture to pursue those who do not know Christ. It is not enough to simply adopt mission as a subset of the church's activity and effort. It must become the engine that pulls the train. Otherwise, mission will always be an option instead of the number one priority. The Genesis command to be fruitful and multiply has not been rescinded. The go of the Great Commission. Most people want to stay put and enjoy the benefits of being part of a local church, which are many. The fellowship is wonderful. There is a comfort in knowing that the people around us are like-minded servants of Jesus. It is great to be enveloped in a culture that fosters sound biblical thinking and values. The result is that many Christians adopt a fortress mentality in which we try to wall out the world and its negative influences. In this scenario, mission devolves into inviting people to enter the fort and become part of the enclave. But this is not obedience to the first part of the Great Commission, which is go. Jesus told his disciples that he was sending them. John 20:21. Going requires us to leave our comfort and safety zones and venture into the world of those who do not know Christ. For Abraham, it meant leaving land, family, friends, culture, and familiar gods to serve the one true God in an unknown, as yet, place. It meant going by faith without the benefit of a well-designed plan or end game. All he had was the command to go, coupled with a promise, and he went. Jesus emphasized the go when he taught the parable of the shepherd who left the 99 sheep to go after the one lost one. He emphasized the go when he prayed that the Father would send laborers into the harvest. Then why do we find it so difficult to go? Going requires sacrifice, courage, faith, and a willingness to suffer and endure uncertainty, inevitable disappointments and setbacks, heartbreak, loss, and enormous challenges. Some of the people we go to will not appreciate it. Some will even be hostile. However, some will be forever grateful, which makes it all worthwhile. More importantly, Jesus will be pleased and honored, and we will accrue eternal reward. Mark 10, 29 through 30. The going of mission is both the most rewarding thing you will ever do and the most dangerous and costly. And that is why many of us shy away from obedience to the Great Commission. Jesus called this falling away. Mark 4:17 says, "And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." If we fall away from obedience to the mission in times of peace, what will happen to us when persecution arrives? In fact, will not the proper preaching of the gospel in obedience to the Great Commission actually invite persecution? Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Perhaps the lack of persecution in our nation today betrays a lack of commitment to the Great Commission, making disciples. The second part of the Great Commission is making disciples. There is a huge difference between a disciple and a mere churchgoer, although disciples definitely have a strong commitment to the local church. Going to church requires a relatively small commitment, but being a disciple means we make the ultimate commitment to Christ and his mission. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus violated just about every church growth principle when he taught on discipleship. He comes across rather negatively, repeating the phrase, "cannot be my disciple," three times in Luke chapter 14. It is as if he were trying to weed out anyone who would not make the ultimate commitment. The leaven of partial commitment is contagious. He did not tell them to try following him as best they could in the hope that gradually they would be able to become more committed. Although some do move forward towards greater and greater commitment over a lifetime, I think the reverse is usually the case. People backslide from their initial devotion because the cost becomes greater than the price they are willing to pay. Being a disciple means that we commit to Jesus the Lord as a person. We submit to his rule in our lives through obedience to his teachings and to the indwelling Holy Spirit. This will lead us to obedience to the Great Commission, which lays upon us the task of teaching others to be disciples who will also make disciples. Therefore, in order to create a missional culture in a local church, a commitment must be made to develop disciple-making disciples. In other words, church leaders and church members must prioritize duplicating themselves in the lives of others. Churches that commit to making disciples will examine their values, priorities, programs, everything, in light of whether or not it advances disciple-making. Disciple-making is much more than giving lectures at church meetings. It involves one-on-one and one-on-few instruction and mentoring. It includes demonstration of how to do ministry, followed by giving the disciple the opportunity to put into practice what was learned, with follow-up instruction as needed. The goal of discipleship is to produce a practitioner, not a mere theologian, churchgoer, or moral paragon. Churches that commit to creating a missional evangelism culture will devote their energy, talent, and resources to pursuing the Great Commission.